The Melbourne AA Steps Weekend, 2009. Here's Georgia, sharing on Step 9.
Hi, I'm Georgia. I'm an alcoholic. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm a little bit nervous this morning, but, you know, no, it's really good. And thanks for all the speakers beforehand. It's been fantastic. I came in about, it's almost going to be 3 years ago, not quite yet, when I was 29, and I was thinking about this morning, actually, which I sort of forget now, but the things that sort of came to me at that time, which sort of brought me, at that time anyway, that brought me in, and, you know, I remember riding home one night from work and sort of putting a series of events together in my head. I don't even know how these things occurred, but remembering relationships and these similarities to how they'd ended. And before that, I just thought, oh, that person was an idiot, or that person couldn't handle me, that person did, you know, they were all separate events before that. And then all of a sudden, I just saw this real link I'd never seen before, and I'd never gone as far as to blame alcohol for anything, you know. I mean, you know, and I'd realised I'd had these huge blow-ups and with all of them, and some of those blow-ups that I had not remembered, and those relationships had ended. And then there was other things. I remember there was just this whole combination of events that happened in, you know, just a number of weeks that made me think, I think I might have a problem here. And I'd also tried to stop drinking for about 3 months. I think obviously I knew that I had a problem at that point, but and then I'd just gone to my sister's birthday, not planning at all on drinking, and just drank, and yeah, and it didn't. There was nothing between me and that. And the next day, waking up and realizing I'd just done everything that I'd hoped and planned that I'd never do again, which was the stuff that I always did when I, you know, when I would drink. And I guess before that, I thought for some reason it would be different, but it wasn't. You know, I fought with people, strangers, friends, lost money, all sorts of stuff, and just, you know, all in one night. And I managed to, wake up and just thinking, oh my God, that's, you know, how did that happen? I'd gone so long without alcohol. How could it, you know, ever happened again? And woke up in the morning and knew that I couldn't do it on my own. And not even just the support of friends was going to do it. I just looked into the future somehow, and I just could not see myself getting through certain events. And I that's when I knew that I needed, the support of the program, and thank God this program is here and that I knew about it. And then I went to a meeting one night, and funnily enough, the meeting I went to was the Steps in St Kilda meeting, and that's the one that's my home group. And it was a ninth step meeting, and I went in there and thought, okay, whatever, I'll just go with the flow. And it was amazing that, you know, sure, I was at step one at that point, but you know, I totally identified with what was being read and shared about step nine. And I guess because it talked about the kind of the characters of alcoholics or whatever, and I just thought, oh my God, that's me. I really am linking with this. And I didn't want to. I think I went there sort of out of curiosity. I knew I needed some sort of help. I thought it was a kind of a random act to decide to go to an AA meeting. But, you know, I just thought, what the hey, I'll try something different here. And, I don't know what I expected, but I definitely didn't expect to identify with, what was being said. And I did. And one of the good things that was said that night was that you don't do step nine until you get to step nine. And, I, you know, at that point where I was at, I had so much guilt, and memories were just coming to me. You know, it's like once I just kind of tapped into this thing, it was just like, brr, you know, like just, yeah, just, you could call them flashbacks, but they're probably just memories, you know, just suddenly going, oh my God, and then there was a time I did that. And, you know, I kept thinking about exes. That was the main focus at that time, was like wanting to run around and apologize to all these exes and all these things that I'd done. And I was just really glad to hear that in that meeting. Someone saying, you know, you don't do step nine till you get to step nine. And I couldn't really think why. I mean, because I'd got there and I just wanted to turn on that sorry tap and just, you know, wash all the stuff away. You know, I just, as I said, I had the guilt and the memories, and I just wanted to, get that stuff out. So I couldn't really think why I would suggest to put the brakes or, you know, the reins on somebody at that point. And I thought, yeah, my motives I thought were right, and I thought I was pretty sure on who I needed to make amends to and what it was about. But I sort of thought, okay, well, hold off. And it was good because I kept going to that meeting and getting to understand the steps a bit more and then talking to other people. And so then once I got through doing, I found a sponsor, and because I felt I had an urgency about it, because for me, yeah, getting sober was good and different and scary and whatever, but I just had so much kind of going on in there, you know, the memories and the guilt and all that, that I just needed to get onto this this fourth step and move through the process. And so, yep, wrote that out, and then the process took a while, and actually took a number of weeks, because my fourth was rather large. And not weeks solid, but, you know, I had a little time booked with my sponsor each week. And then, yeah, once I was, yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, so I did the fifth and then moved on to the next few. And I realized that once I got to the point of with my eight-step list, ready to do my ninth step, it was so different to what it was when I came in. You know, like, yes, definitely some of those people I had harmed, and they were, you know, the amends needed to be made. But, you know, I'd never thought of friends or family. I don't know. They weren't in my mind when I came into AA. Like, I thought, well, my family owed me something. They'd been pretty crappy. You know, and I thought my friends, well, hey, you know, shouldn't they just be able to deal with anything? And I didn't think I'd been that bad. And they were my enemies, so, you know, I can't have been that bad to them. So, but little did I know, you know, my step eight list kind of just ended up being turned upside down, really. I mean, the family and friends came first in the end. And the exes and all that, you know, some of them, you know, obviously still on the list, but they are sort of a further down, like, you know, not the sort of straightaway have to be done now. And that's, yeah, that's the thing, like the willingness and everything and the motivation or whatever that came at that point was so different to what it was when I came in. And I did hear that shared later that, you know, like some of that motivation when you come in, it's not that clear. And you know, who knows? I mean, it doesn't take a genius to think, well, I wanted to run out and apologize to the exes. I mean, it's exciting and it's, you know, it's controversial and I get to see them again. And, you know, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, it's not that clean. You know, it's not, it probably isn't God's will at that point in time. So to then have the urge after sharing my fifth to want to go and apologize to my family, as for starters, that I never thought that was going to happen. I just thought I had a huge, you know, I thought I had a huge list of resentments against them. But just to see it differently after writing that fifth was just, you know, incredible. In particular, like, yeah, so I, you know, I made, you know, amends to my mum and my dad and then, my older sister, and she, and I thought, oh, this is going to be funny, because I thought my older sister would just be hanging for me to come to an event like this, where I'm saying sorry for something. She's just going to be just warm in the hands. But you know, and I just thought, well, even if she is, and she was a little bit, she kind of loved it. In fact, she had her added list of who else I should be, you know, like, oh, and what about, you know, what about my partner? I'll get him on the phone now. And I'm like, hey, wait a second. I'm making the phone call here. You know, it was just like, she was, yeah, liking it. But that wasn't why I was there. So, I mean, I had to just keep remembering that whatever was sitting opposite me or on the phone or whatever, the person, you know, whatever was going to happen at that event, you know, when I made my amends, you know, I wasn't going to be in control of that, and it didn't have to be perfect. And even if she enjoyed it, well, that's, you know, 10 points to her. And so, you know, I remember that being a little bit awkward, but I just thought that, you know, I knew why I was there, and that's, you know, thanks to the steps leading up to that point, that had given me the right basis to know exactly why I was making that phone call or sitting opposite that person. And then with my younger sister, that was a surprise. She ended up telling me something that I'd done to her when I was drunk and I didn't remember, and I was, you know, I was mad at the time for not saying it, but I was like, why didn't she tell me this? You know, I told her, I just had said some really horrible things to her, and I never remembered saying it, and I don't ever remember feeling those things, but I mean, that's not the biggest surprise. I mean, that wouldn't have been the only time I blurted out a whole lot of stuff when I was drunk, and you know, blacked out or who knows, and don't remember what I said. So I thought, God, poor thing, and she'd been carrying that all that time, and our relationship had been weird, and I never knew why. But, you know, I end up hearing it, and she was very touched by my calling her, and I was really surprised at that. I actually thought between my little sister and I, there probably wasn't much. You know, I just had to apologize for, yeah, just being a bit irresponsible and whatever. But, you know, there ended up being more to it. And that was, yeah, that was quite a full-on event. And my older brother, I again, well, you know, from back, you know, prior to doing the steps, I would thought, oh, my brother's got a huge list that he has to make amends to me about. But, you know, it was great. Like, I never thought when I went to make amends to him that I would ever be able be doing that and be able to do that, and was actually able, after, you know, doing my fifth, to see like what I had done of the years that could have created some of the reactions in him and the emotions in him and his behaviour perhaps towards me. I really did think that there was nothing I'd done wrong prior to doing the steps, and I thought I was, yeah, pretty much purely the victim. And so to go to him, that was hard, and it took a bit of organising. He kept cancelling, and in the end, I just was like, all right, I'm going. And it was, yeah, it was a really amazing experience. And he ended up saying to me, he's like, you're not an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic. And I was like, whoa. But I mean, you know, it just showed me, you don't know. I mean, I didn't know. You know, every time I went to make amends to someone, I had no idea what was going to go on. It just showed how much planning sometimes I must do in my head, or projecting or picturing what a relationship is like or how it was. But, you know, when I actually would go and do, you know, do the actual amends, it was an absolute surprise bag, and usually a positive one, but just a surprise. And I liked what the previous speaker was talking about, people being in front of you sometimes at the right time. And there was one person who I felt very guilty, like when I just got sober, and I had this memory of this party, and it was just, well, when I call it a memory, montage, I don't know, it was a just chopped up tiny images. And I even woke up the morning after that party and wasn't sure if I dreamt half of it, but I mean, I don't think I did. I think they were actually, you know, blackout memories, whatever. So in the morning, I knew that there was one character involved that I could put a face on, but I still I didn't know what I'd done. I just knew I'd done something. And I know it sounds funny, but I really wanted to make amends to that person. And it, you know, even I'm sure my sponsor had a hard time giving me advice on that one. How do you make amends to someone when you don't know what you did, but you know you did something? So he first appeared to me early on this, like, he didn't live in a suburb near me or anything. But that night it wasn't the right time. I think he had his girlfriend with him and stuff. And then another time, it came to into my work of all places, and we ended up, yeah, organising to meet up, and I did. I had to, and it was embarrassing. I felt like I was in a movie. I'm saying, oh, by the way, like, remember that party ages ago? I just really want to say sorry for hoping he's going to fill in the blanks. And he filled in the blanks, and it wasn't. Well, yeah, quite what I expected. But look, I had to kind of find out. I thought, look, I could leave it a mystery, but, you know, I won't say exactly what happened. But I had to find out. And so that was quite an interesting experience of having to, you know, make amends for a mystery event and expect the other person to actually fill me in on that. And then say, oh, good, now you've said that. Well, yeah, this is what I am saying. So that was very interesting. And, you know, and then sometimes, you know, I had a person who there was no way of me contacting this person, and except that I had his address. I'd lived with him a number of times. And then I sent him a letter, and I didn't, you know, didn't hear anything back straight away. And I thought that's fine, because it's just about getting my message across, and if I hear nothing, that's fine. And it was actually a good number of months later, and he was about to go overseas, and he posted me back a letter, and it was just so sweet, these handwritten letters. You know, it was like being in 1800s. It was really cool. And, you know, like, and, yeah, and it was just so, like, to get a handwritten letter, it's just so sweet. And, yeah, and he was just so lovely, you know, and just, you know, saying that, I don't know, who knows, making sort of amends for some of his stuff, which I didn't think he at all needed to do. And it was, yeah, it was just a really lovely thing, and thinking that him and I could probably have a friendship now. and yeah, which I think, yeah, is amazing what you get out of this experience. And when I read last night, I read the sort of step nine section again in the big book and the promises and, yeah, and it sort of made, just reading it again, it just made a lot more sense, you know, as to, about that sort of, knowing how to handle situations that you weren't able to handle before. And then I got a bit about that, you know, losing that, fear of economic insecurity. And, it's because in the book it talks about being able to come to your creditors and debtors or whoever it is, you know, and actually facing up. And that really, you know, just that facing up, I think, really changes things. Because before I came in, I remember there was areas of, because I live around St Kilda, that I didn't even want to walk down the street. You know, I was just scared of just anyone seeing me because there was stuff that I remembered and there was also so much stuff that I didn't remember. But to be able to, after coming into AA, to be able to walk down the street and be fearless and face people, and then not just that, but then to have developed friendships that I never thought I would have. It's just absolutely incredible, and so different to being afraid and not even wanting to look people in the eye and not even want to be in certain areas or going to certain places. It's just a completely different experience. And also in the book it says, it might be easier to go to friends than enemies. And I don't know about that. You know, I was just as nervous going to friends, you know, because I didn't realize I had so much pride in some areas. I didn't want to look like, you know, whatever. But all in all, it's an amazing experience. And yeah, thanks very much for letting me share.
This share and other shares like it are available from our website, stepsweekend.aagroup.org.au. Thanks for letting us share.